Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I invite you to go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word this morning. Join me once again in John chapter 6, and we will work this morning through verses 60 to 71 in John chapter 6, a message entitled, The Words of Eternal Life. The words of eternal life. As we've been walking our way through this series called Seven Signs, looking at the miracles that Jesus performed in his ministry that point to the reality of who he is. He is the Son of God, very God in the flesh, who came into this world for one specific purpose, and that was to lay his life down so that we may be forgiven. And so John would say at the end of this gospel account in chapter 20 that the reason that he wrote this was so that we would believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing in him, we would have life everlasting. The words of eternal life. I want to read for us the text this morning, John chapter 6, beginning in verse 60, and then we'll walk back through it together. Looking verse by verse, this is what John writes. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." And Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes that we would be able to see, and that you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit this morning. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. What is the sign of a great leader? What makes someone a great leader? Well, naturally, you would think people follow someone. That makes them a great leader. So what happens when people stop following you? Well, you may look at that and say, maybe they're not a great leader. And yet, this morning in the text, we are going to encounter just that. If you remember, Jesus has been performing miracles throughout his ministry up until this point in time. And as he's performing these miracles, as he's turning water to wine, as he is healing people, as he recently has turned what I've referred to as a happy meal, which someone who works at Chick-fil-A said to me last week, it's a kid's meal, not a happy meal. That's at McDonald's. I don't want to say that, okay? So a kid's meal. But he turned that and fed 5,000 people. Plus, Well, naturally, people want to be in on what's going on. And so there were thousands of people flocking to Jesus. Now, when you look at that, you may say, at this point, Jesus is a great leader. After all, people are coming to follow him. I mean, isn't that what makes a great church? That there are a bunch of people that show up? Maybe not. Jesus here in this moment, as we saw last week, said some words that got the crowd a bit disturbed. And so as we look at the text this morning, as we look, first of all, at the truth we see in verses 60 to 62, if you're taking notes, this is what I want you to write down. The words of eternal life are hard and exclusive. The words of eternal life are hard and exclusive. Notice with me in verse 60. When many of his disciples heard, what's that next word? Y'all aren't paying attention this morning. Wake your neighbor up. When they heard it. Let's try that one more time. When they heard. Okay, what's the it that Jesus has said? Well, if we reverse just a little bit in the text, we'll be reminded that Jesus, after he had walked on water, after the miracle of feeding the 5,000, Jesus had said to those who were coming to follow him that I am the bread of life. If you want to live and be satisfied spiritually for all of eternity, Jesus says that I am the bread of life. I am the only one who can satisfy the deepest longings of your soul and fill you up. And then Jesus said to them, as they argued a bit amongst themselves last week in our text that we covered, Jesus said to them, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood to have any part of me. To which they stepped back for a second and said, hey, whoa, it's a little much there. A little too aggressive, Jesus. A little more than we want to take in at this point in time. What in the world are you talking about? Not only were they struggling with the reality of who Jesus was, but they were struggling with the reality that Jesus said, there is only one way to have a relationship with your heavenly Father, and that is through me, through my flesh, through my blood. If you're not willing to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you'll have no part of me. Now, at this point, they're struggling. In fact, the text says us, when many of his disciples heard it, that's what Jesus had previously said, they said, this is a hard saying, who can listen to it? Now, for us at this point in the church, we have the privilege of being able to look back at what Jesus has done. And so, when Jesus says here to the crowd who are looking to follow him, when he says, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, immediately we're thinking, Jesus is going to the cross and his body is going to be broken and his blood is going to be shed for us. We have the privilege of looking back at that and saying, that's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus, in this moment, speaking to the crowd, is looking forward, and he knows that's where he's going. The crowd is clueless, and they're thinking, how are we supposed to eat his flesh? How are we supposed to drink his blood? I mean, if you think about it, it's a little creepy. And in this moment, they are struggling with what Jesus is saying. They're looking at what he said, and they're missing the point of what he's trying to communicate to them. What he wants them to understand is that salvation is only possible through Jesus. The reason that his saying is hard and the reason that it's exclusive is because Jesus is communicating to the crowd in this moment, if you want salvation, if you want eternal life, if you want a relationship with the Heavenly Father, it will only happen through me. Now, church, that is our message. That is the message that we proclaim. Salvation is only possible through Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven by which men and women are saved. Jesus, it is incredibly exclusive. Jesus would say it this way, the road is narrow to eternal life. But the path to destruction is wide open. It's a smooth road. It's not like I-75, there's no traffic on that road. It's a smooth road. But not the road to eternal life. That is a narrow road. It's a narrow road that runs through Jesus. And so in this moment, as Jesus is speaking the truth to those who are following him in this moment, those, if you remember, that Jesus has already exposed what's going on in their heart. And Jesus had said to them, you're not really interested in following me. You're just interested in what I can do for you. You're just interested in being fed, or you're interested in being healed, or you're interested in just what I can provide, and yet you're not interested in me. And in this moment, they look at Jesus and they say, this is hard. Now, for those of us who are being saved, who are saved in this moment, we don't look at that and go, well, that's hard. We look and we think, well, that's easy. I mean, if salvation is only possible through Jesus, then those of us who have trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we look and we go, oh man, it's easy. And yet we read in 1 Corinthians that Paul would say, that what we believe is foolishness to those who aren't saved. I mean, think about this for just a second, church. What we are communicating is that there is only one way to heaven. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus. Now, we live in a pluralistic culture that says, you need to lighten up a little bit. I mean, what you're communicating there is incredibly intolerant. Like, do you mean to tell me that what you're saying is that people who don't have a relationship with Jesus will spend eternity in hell separated from him? Is that what you're saying? And we as a church would collectively say, yes, that is what we're saying. And the culture, much like the people who were following Jesus as fans but not followers, would say, man, that's hard. In fact, they would look and say, that's not very nice. And yet, when we communicate that, we communicate it in such a way that we have experienced salvation through Jesus. We are recipients of the grace demonstrated to us through Jesus' death and his resurrection. And when we communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must be certain that we don't try to water it down. Where we don't look and we say, well, I mean, this is what I believe. And I mean, the worst thing, church, the worst thing is when pastors get on television and you can't nail them down. They're like Jell-O. I mean, you can't nail them down. Interviewer will say, is Jesus the only way? Well, we'll just leave that up to him. Well, he just said it. He is the only way to salvation. And the crowd looks and they say, this is hard. I mean, Jesus, what you're saying is that we can't just lean on religion and get to heaven. And Jesus says, no. In fact, they were the best religious people on the planet. I mean, they were so religious, their religiosity was religious. I mean, that's how religious that they were. And Jesus looks at them and he says to them, you can be as religious as you want to be, but if you do not have a relationship with me, you will not have eternal life. And so let me just assure us and remind us this morning, the point of us gathering together, the point of us surrounding ourselves with God's Word and with God's people is not religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. So when we look and we gather together, we are gathering together recognizing that what unites us together is Jesus. The exclusivity of the reality, He is the only way to heaven. He is the only way to eternal life. Salvation can only be found in Jesus. Here, the crowd, and for us in the culture, they say, this is hard. It's hard. In fact, who can listen to it? They said, not only is it hard, but we don't even want to listen. But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this. I love this because clearly, at this point, they're not talking to Jesus. They're talking to each other. Why else would Jesus know in his heart what was going on, right? So what's going on is Jesus has communicated this, and then they're slipping off to the side and going, I think the guy's crazy. I mean, do you hear what he's saying? I mean, what he's saying is we have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. I mean, I'm not doing that. Are you doing that? No, I'm not doing that. This is crazy. But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Jesus says, are you offended by this? I mean, this message that Jesus has communicated, that he is the bread of life, and that unless they eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, they cannot have eternal life. He says, does this offend you? I mean, are you offended by this? Notice what he asks in verse 62. He says, then, what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? I want you to notice what Jesus just did in this moment. They are arguing back and forth with one another. They are struggling with what Jesus has communicated because what Jesus said is that salvation can only be found through him. Religion is not going to get you to heaven. Good works are not going to get you to heaven. A deal that you think you've cut with God is not going to get you to heaven. The only thing that's going to provide eternal life is believing in Jesus and what he has done on the cross and his resurrection. That is the only thing that will provide eternal life for you. And Jesus in this moment looks at them and says, let's change the tune for just a second. You're struggling with this. You're struggling with my death and my blood being spilled out. You're struggling with that. But what if you saw me ascend to heaven? Would that change the discussion? To which, if they could respond, I think they would have said, well, yeah, do that, and then we'll believe. Right? If you remember, that's what their conversation has been up until this point. They're looking at Jesus saying, hey, can you do more tricks
so that we can believe in you? Because if you can continue to do more things, then we'll believe in you. And Jesus says here, if I ascend to where I used to live, will you believe? Would that change the discussion? If you get your eyes off of what's going on in this moment, would that change the conversation? Jesus here looks at them and says, what you're struggling with is me going to the cross, my body being broken, and my blood shed. You're not interested in following me and the suffering that is to come. What you're interested in is a king. That's all you want. If you remember previously to this, what they tried to do after Jesus fed the 5,000, do you remember that? What they said was, we want to grab you and make you king by force. I mean, if anyone can do that, we want you to be king. And Jesus here is saying to them, you think I'm not king because the path that's ahead is the cross. But if you could see who I am, you would realize that the path of the cross is the path of salvation. That is where I'm heading. Jesus here says the words of eternal life are hard and exclusive. But not only that, look at verse 63, and here's the second truth that we see in the text this morning. The words of eternal life are life-saving and life-giving. Verse 63. Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. This is very reminiscent of what Jesus had said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. If you remember that conversation with Nicodemus, a religious leader, where he had come to Jesus at night to ask Jesus some questions, and Jesus said to him, you must be born again. Do you remember that? And he says, whoa, that's weird. I don't understand that. But what Jesus is saying is you must be born again spiritually. And he says here in verse 63 that it's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, who gives life. Meaning, when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, there is a heart rearranging that goes on in our lives. And the Holy Spirit of God takes out, the Bible says, a heart of stone and puts in a heart of flesh. We are changed. We are new creatures in Christ. The Spirit gives life. And he says here, the flesh is no help at all. What did you bring to salvation? Nothing. Jesus just said there, the flesh is no help. In fact, in this moment, that's what they were depending on. They thought, if I can just live good enough, if I can just be religious enough, if I show up to church on time change Sunday, surely I'm going to get to heaven. And Jesus says the flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Jesus says in this moment, these words that I've communicated to you, that salvation, eternal life is found in my body broken and my blood shed for you, in those words, in the truth of the gospel that Jesus has proclaimed, that is where we find life spiritually. Which has to mean that prior to us believing in Jesus as our Savior, we are dead spiritually. And Jesus says here, you want to be alive spiritually? Then what I've just spoken, that salvation is found through me, is the only way that you can experience
life. Verse 64, but there are some of you who do not believe. I like that Jesus doesn't mind calling people out. Some of you have that spiritual gift, and that's not good, right? But when Jesus does it, it's fine. Because Jesus is looking at this crowd of people, many of them who were just fans of what he could do, but they weren't interested in really following him. And Jesus looks at them and he says to them, there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning those who were did not believe in him and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. Jesus looks at them and he says, some of you, you're just interested in what I can provide. You're not interested in me. You're not interested in the suffering that's to come. You're not interested in the body that's to be broken. You're not interested in the cross. You want a king. You want someone who can ascend to heaven. You're not interested in following me to the cross. And yet what we know, those of us who have trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that that message of the cross, that message of Jesus' body broken and his blood shed for us, that is a message of life. Jesus' death is followed by Jesus' resurrection. Life. And the same thing is true for us. We were dead in our trespasses and our sins, Ephesians 2, verse 1 says. But verse 4, but God made us alive in Christ. Life is found in a hard and exclusive message that salvation can only be found in Jesus. Notice verse 66. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Jesus preached what I affectionately refer to as a space maker sermon. It's like the tithing sermon in church today, right? Preach that sermon, half the crowd next week. Jesus here in this moment says to them, salvation can only be found through me. And after that, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. If you're taking notes, here's the third truth. The words of eternal life are received and rejected. We see it here that many rejected Jesus. Now, we look at that and we think, come on, people. I mean, Jesus is standing before you. And you're going to reject him? And yet the truth is today that there are those who reject him today. You may be sitting here this morning, and for you, up until this point in time, whether consciously or not, you have rejected Jesus. You've never placed your faith and trust in him for salvation, and you would fall in this camp that he describes here. Maybe you've never heard the gospel. Maybe you've never heard that salvation can be found in Jesus. But you've heard it today. And you have an opportunity this morning with that truth being presented to you to respond and receive salvation through Jesus. And maybe for you, that's your step to take this morning. To trust in Jesus for salvation. Verse 67. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Now put yourself in the shoes of Jesus' 12 disciples in this moment. I mean, thousands of people had been following Jesus. You've seen Jesus do incredible things.
And yet Jesus says, eat my flesh, drink my blood, and people leave. I mean, right? A good leader has people that follow him. Jesus, in this moment, just lost most of the people. What do you do? I mean, you got to know, they're looking around going, man, do we keep following? Jesus asked the question, do you want to go as well? Simon Peter answered him, verse 68. I love this. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. When we take the step of trusting in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that is our cry. As followers of Jesus, that is what we proclaim. Where else would we go if Jesus has the words of eternal life? Why would we go looking somewhere else? That's what Peter proclaimed at this point. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil. Now, you got to know that went over well. He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. In this moment, Peter looks and he says, Jesus, why would we follow anybody else? Nobody else has the words of eternal life. You do. And yet, notice this. Jesus says, there's one who's with you who, even though they say they believe, really doesn't. I mean, think about that. Put it in our terms. Judas was at church every week. I mean, he loved Jesus so much, he was serving in the back with the kids. He was collecting the offering. Now, we know a little bit he was making change in the offering plate, but Jesus looks and he says, Peter, your words are true, but even in that, there's one who's not interested in following. Judas was interested in what he could get from Jesus. And let me say this to you this morning. You can be a church member who serves and who gives and not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Unless you have placed your faith and trust in Him for salvation, you will not have eternal life. You say, Michael, but I'm a church member. That wasn't one of the qualifications. You say, but I serve, but that's not one of the qualifications. Salvation is only found through relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have that relationship with Him? And now let's put it in perspective at this point. Peter's proclamation, Jesus, we're following you because you have the words of eternal life. If you fast forward, in Acts chapter 2, it's Peter who is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thousands of people come to faith in him. Now, for me, I look at that and I think, Peter in this moment, even though he would deny Jesus not long from here, but Peter saw Jesus for who he was and that he had the words of eternal life. And Peter said, somebody else needs to hear that. Somebody else needs to hear that message. believer who's here this morning, who has trusted in Jesus Christ, someone around you needs to hear that message of eternal life. You have a neighbor who needs Jesus. Amen? You're like, man, they're crazy. You have a family member that needs Jesus. You have a coworker that needs a relationship with Jesus. And if you have the message of eternal life, if you know that salvation can only be found in Jesus, why would you not share that with them? That's the commission that Jesus gave to his disciples when he left this planet. When he ascended, like he talked about here, before he left, he said to his disciples, "Now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all that I have commanded." And so this message of eternal life that Jesus had, he passed on to those who were following him. He passed on to us and says to us, take that message and proclaim it wherever you find yourself. Because church, if we have the message of eternal life, if we know how people can meet Jesus, how much do we have to hate them not to tell them? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the truth. And Father, we've been confronted again with the reality this morning that salvation can only be found in Jesus. And for those of us in this room who have heard that message and responded by faith, we have received eternal life and we thank you for that. There's no greater gift that we could have received. And yet, I'm convinced this morning, Lord, that there are some who are sitting here who have heard today the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done for them, and they have the opportunity before them to receive it or once again to reject it. And so, Father, I pray that as you have been at work in this moment through your Spirit, Father, as you have been pricking hearts with the truth of the gospel this morning, that if there are those who are here and have heard it, maybe even for the first time, would you help them respond by faith to believe in Jesus this morning, receive eternal life. And Father, for those of us who have received it, would you give us, as Paul asks for, boldness to share the hope that we found? Boldness to share with our neighbor, boldness to share with our coworker, boldness to share with our family member, boldness to share with our kids, boldness to share the words of eternal life. Use this time to convict us, to challenge us, to equip us, to do what you've called us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand this morning. You sing. If you've never taken that step of trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to be at the back of the room, and I'd love to share with you more about that. Just come back there. Think about who it is you can share this week the hope, the words of eternal life.